Good morning, everyone. So I'm Emmanuel Dolande, and I'm a PhD student in the École Centrale de Lille, and I'm working with Thales Communication too in France. So let's get started. So first of all, I will talk about the PhD method in the well-known Siegel sensor case. And then I will explain our proposition of extension to the multi-sensor case, which is not easy. And then I will show you some results. So here, the problem is multi-target detection and tracking. So obviously we have targets evolving in a state space. The state is unknown but of interest. We know that these targets may enter and leave the state space at random dates, so that the target number is random as well. These targets are observed by sensors. So each sensor has its own observation process. We know also that the field of views of the sensor may overlap each other, but this will be an important point for later. And we'll have a synchronized system. At each time step, we'll receive measurements from all the sensors, so we're likely to have some measurement target association issues. So how can we represent our targets? So the classical method would be to create a track each time you detect a new target, and to maintain this track. This track will evolve according to the information you have on the underlying target. But we'll focus here on another way, the set-based representation, in which case the randomness upon the target number and the randomness of the in the target states is gathered into one single random object, a random finite set, or RFS. So this multi-target RFS will be a random variable, which is defined on all the finite subsets of the state space. And you see here that you have randomness on the target states as well as the target number. So the finite state statistics provide us tools such as set integration, set differentiation, or even set probability densities, so that we, in theory, should be able to propagate the probability density of our RFS through time using set-based Bayesian equations. So you have the time update equation first, and then the data update equation. So these equations look quite nice, but you can't use them in a practical situation, because dealing with set integrals is tricky, because you need to take into account every possible number of targets inside your RFS. So how can we simplify this? Well, the idea is to propagate the first moment density, or PhD, of the RFS rather than the full density. So we'll have to assume that the full density is Poisson, which means that the target number inside our RFS is Poisson, with parameter n, which equals integral of the PhD over the whole state space, and each target in the RFS is distributed according to the normalized PhD. So on this example, assuming that the gray area equals to roughly 3.2, then the estimated target number will be 3, and I will localize the 3 targets along the highest peaks in my density. So you see here that the PhD is defined on the state space, which is much easier to handle than the finite subsets of the state space. So Bayesian filtering, fortunately, within PhD framework is easier than within the RFS framework, because the PhD is defined on the state space. So we have here the time update equation. So the first part here is relates to the evolution of existing targets, and then you have a small part here which relates to the creation of new targets. And then the data update equation, which is quite nice too, and you can see classical notions of that, of the probability of detection or the likelihood here. So this is quite easy, but it's in the single sensor case only. So now what happens in the multi-sensor case. This is quite different and more difficult to solve. So we proposed a real data update equation. So this looks nasty, I know. The key point here is this. In the exponent, you have a cross term, I would call it, it's a functional that we call the cross term, which will need to differentiate along every measurement point and along the state point two to get the data updated PhD. I will not give you here the exact expression of the cross term, it's in the paper. I will rather try to show you what it looks like in practical situations. So, assuming that you have three sensors, what if you differentiate your cross term in a state point X, measure Z1 and measure Z3? Then the resulting cross term here is the likelihood that there is a target in state X, according to my time-updated PhD, and that this target is detected by sensor 1 and produced measurement Z1. The target wasn't detected by sensor 2 and was detected by sensor 3 and produced measurement Z3. Likewise, if my cross term is differentiated in measurement points only, like this, then the resulting cross term is a likelihood that there is a target somewhere in the state space, but I don't know where, which was detected by sensor 1, was detected by sensor 2, but was undetected by the sensor 3. So what does it look like? What does the updated PhD look like on a simple example? So here I have only two sensors. First case, only two measurements, so one measurement per sensor, for example. What you see here is a data updated PhD. The first term here is the denotes the likelihood that you have a target in state point X, but it's undetected by both sensors. And then you have this ratio takes into account all the possible association, measurement association. So on the denominator here, you have all the possibility that which can all the possibilities that you were to have these two measures only, measurements only. So here, the measurements comes from different targets, and here from a single target. Well, you can imagine that if you increase the number of measurements or the number of target, things will grow out of control. You see, if I only had one measurement, this is going very nasty. So how can we simplify this? We took a closer look on the data update equation, and we found that in many situations, many differentiated cross terms were to vanish. So let's look at this example. You have three sensors, S1 and S3 have overlapping fields, and S2 is isolated. Well, I know that a target in the red region cannot be detected. So any cross term differentiated in this measurement and, I don't know, a point here will vanish. I know also that no target can be detected by this sensor S1 and S2. So any cross term differentiated in measurement here and here will vanish too, and so on. So what happened is that instead of using my the data update equation on the whole state space, I can rather use it three times on smaller parts of the state space. I will use once on the red region without any sensor, once on the green region with sensor 1 and 3, and one on the blue region with sensor 2, measurement from sensor 2. And I will get the exact same results of the exact multi-sensor PhD, updated PhD, but it should be faster. So let's look at an example. So here I have something like 10 sensors spread all over the state space. Well, you see that the fourth configuration is said that I should be able to split my sensors in at least four parts. This one isolated, these two here, and these three here. So in this dark spot, this is critical because I have three overlapping fields of view. So if a target comes into this dark spot, the data updated step will be very very hard to compute. So here it is my scenario, the time step. In black, it's a real number of target across time, and in the red, the estimated number by my PhD. PhD filter. So you can see that at the beginning of this simulation and around the end, there's a high number of targets. So these points are the critical times where the data update should be difficult with a brute force approach. And clearly, so this in black is the computing time of the data update step across the scenario for the brute force approach. So the data update step over the whole state space. And here in red, the computing time for the partition method. The time, it's log scale here. So you see that at the beginning, at the end, the brute force approach is exploding, while the partition method remains quite low. Another interesting point is here, because the target number is very low, the brute force is actually better than the partition method. So to conclude, what can we say about the partition method? Well, first of all, it's not an approximation because we get to have the exact multisensor data update equation, so we can propagate the exact value of the multisensor PhD. In case where the field of view configuration is quite good, then the partition method is likely to be much more efficient than the brute force approach. But the partition itself has a cost. That's why we had here the partition was more, the brute force was faster than the partition method. So if the field of view configuration is unfavorable, well, the worst case, if it's all the field of views are crossing each other, then the partition method does not bring anything new and is likely to be a bit less efficient than the brute force approach. But in overall, in practical situation where the field of view, the sensors are spread all over the state space, the partition method can bring an interesting approach to, if you want to propagate the true PhD, multi-sensor PhD value. Thanks.
This problem appears only if if I understand well, the problem appears only if all sensors report exactly at the same time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, you don't have this problem.
Yeah. If you don't have a synchronized network, then you can use the iterated approximation, in which case you will use the single sensor PhD data update equations sequentially. But we know that in the synchronized case, if you use the product, the iterated product approximation, then the final approximation will depend on the order in which you take the process the sensor. That may be a problem.
Any more questions?
So what was the model that you have used in your simulations, and what was state dimension, and how sensitive was your results to the probability of detection in the overlapping regions or the other regions of the state space?
I'm sorry?
What was the model you have used in your simulations?
You mean the target model or the observation?
Yeah, and the measurements.
Well, the target model is quite simple. It's an NCV, near constant velocity model. Mm-hmm. The targets are created around the edges of the state space.
And measurement?
The measurement, I use different kind of sensors. Well, some sensors have measure the range, mm-hmm, and the angle of the target, and you have Gaussian noise on these two values. And other sensors can also measure the radial velocity.
Okay. You see. And in your simulations, both sensors were there.
Yeah, we have many different kinds, and the sensing parameters were different for every sensor.
Okay, so how sensitive your results were according to the probability of detection?
Well, as usual in the PhD, if the probability detection of your sensors is low, then your PhD is likely to crash.
Did you suffer anything in your simulations like that?
In this case, it's the probability of detection is quite high, but I tried with a lower value and it couldn't work.
And may I ask the clutter ratio?
Well, I used a different false alarm process for every captor sensor. You can have a different clutter process. It works quite well, except that you will have the false alarm rate will grow, so you will always estimate the number of targets you will estimate will be quite higher than the real number. So you will need another way to extract targets from your data. Because what I present at the beginning was a basic way. You say, I take the integrals over the whole set space. This is my number of targets. I take the round, well, the closest integral. This is my number of targets. And I will localize them around the highest peaks. But you can do better things. You can try to localize in the space some place where you can extract the PhD some in the sub-region of the state space, the PhD such that you have a weight of one, which will mean that there is a target. Then you extract this, and you will process this to try to extract a target.
Thanks.
Any more questions? We still have 5 minutes.
What implementation did you use? Was it particle filter based?
Yes, and it's difficult this particle filter implementation, especially for the creation of new weight around the measurement or around according to the model of the simulation. So that's why in this case the target estimation, the estimation of the target number was not very good at some point. I should be able to improve this if I use a better particle implementation.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? For the partitioning, you seem to have randomly deployed sensors. If you were in control of the positions of the sensors, were there any optimum positioning that you would have for your particular method?
I mean, if I need to...
The sensors, you have a Poisson sort of distribution of the sensors.
No, not
randomly deployed.
Not for sensors, for targets.
For the targets, sorry.
Yeah.
But the sensors also didn't have any particular structure for the positioning. If you were in control of that, would there be any optimum positioning of the sensors?
Oh, that's a good question. Nowadays, I'm working on the... I don't work on the position of the sensor. I try, with a fixed position to control, try to find the optimal... orientation of my sensor, and this is a big, I think, the big next step for the PhD, the control part, because we know that if there is a part of the state space which is never observed by any sensor, then things will grow out of control and it will decrease the quality of the target number estimation. So I'm trying to tune the orientation of the sensors so that I will at least look at everything I can.
At least for the coverage and of the field. Any more questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.